Good afternoon, and welcome to Autogrill full year 2017 earnings call. Joining me on the call are Gianmario Tondato, our CEO, and Alberto De Vecchi, our CFO. Before we begin, we would like to remind you that some of the information discussed in this call contain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. Actual results may differ materially from those set forth in such statements. For a discussion of these risks and uncertainties, you should review the disclaimer in the earnings presentation we issued today. Now we are available to take your questions. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star and one. Please consider the conference call is transcribed via a text-to-speech tool. Therefore, we kindly ask you to speak clearly and slowly. Thank you. The first question is from Nicolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I would have three questions, if I may. The first one is on the competitive environment. If you could comment on which kind of competition you see when you bid for new contracts. We have recently seen the outcome of a tender in some Spanish airports. I'm wondering if you see the same level of competition also in other markets and channels. Second question is on the consolidation in the sector. I would like to know your view, if you find it beneficial, and which role do you believe that Autogrill can play eventually. The last question is on the contract portfolio. Looking at the presentation, you mentioned 10 billion euros of additions of new contracts and renewals, while the overall portfolio moves from 34 billion euros at the end of last year to 36 billion euros only. Personally, I would have expected more also in terms of duration that goes from 7.3 to 7.5. I'm just wondering if I'm missing something here, and if you can maybe provide a little bit more, a few more details. Many thanks.
Thank you, Nicolò. Did we understand it well that you're asking us about the competitive environment, the consolidation in the sector, and the evolution of the contract portfolio?
It's correct. Thanks.
Okay. I will now hand over to Mr. De Vecchi.
Well, as far as the competitive environment, yes, we live in a competitive environment. In principle, we see it as a positive, being a sign that our industry is very attractive. We think that we are well-positioned as landlords recognize the quality of the service we deliver and the broadband portfolio that we have to offer, and our capacity to innovate the concept, which make us a good partner for them. This is, in fact, clearly reflected in the significant number of wins and renewals that we have done in 2017. That, by the way, is leading to your third question, that is the information about the evolution of the portfolio. In principle, yes, the environment is competitive, but we think that we are well-positioned to keep us growing as we have done in 2017. As far as I jump to the last question because it's connected to the first one, that is the evolution of the portfolio. Yes, the total wins are close to 10 billion. Obviously, in order to calculate which is the impact on the total portfolio, you have to consider that a year has passed. That means that you have an addition of 10 billion, but then you have a decrease of one year, that is 4.7 billion. The rest you have also to consider that you have to reevaluate the portfolio based on the exchange rate, because a large proportion of our portfolio is US dollar denominated. That's why you don't have the full increase, because you have the increase on the additional we generate in 2017, but then you have the impact on the size of the portfolio we had at the beginning of the year, denominated in dollar. That's why as you see the portfolio growing only by $2 billion. But it is $2 billion on top of a very large portfolio that instead of declining of 1 year, in fact, has increased in terms of marginal size, marginal duration. As far as the consolidation in the sector, first of all, we have to say that our industry is still rather fragmented, because even if you add the three main operators, the three companies that are listed that are in our industry, you don't arrive to 50% of the overall sector. But ultimately, yes, it is. There are three large operators, but there's still plenty of opportunities for everybody to expand the business. So in principle, we cannot see an enormous difference in 2017 compared to the previous situation. It's still an industry with very few international operators and a lot of very competitive regional players and local players.
I see. Many thanks.
The next question is from Simon Lechifre of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Three questions, if I may. The first one on the motorways market in the US. You mentioned earlier this year that the market was slowing down. If you could please give us an update on that topic, and also if you could share with us your expectations for 2018. My second question on your target of profitability improvement for 2018. What would be the main drivers of this acceleration? And last point on CapEx, the level of spending was much higher in 2017 with an acceleration in Europe. I was wondering what are the main reasons for this acceleration, and also do you expect a similar level in 2018? Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. So just to summarize, you're asking us about the motorway market in the U.S., if we have any update. Driver profitability going forward, and the amount of CapEx in 2017, correct?
The acceleration in Europe, the main reason for that, and also your CapEx guidance for 2018, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, starting with the evolution of the motorways in U.S. In general, say the U.S. has performed. We have seen an expansion in traffic, both in airport and in motorways. But it's true that the motorways have grown much less than the airports. Because in fact, the airport has grown by 3.5%. Up to November, and they were growing more until summer, and then we had the period with the bad weather, very bad weather in end of August and September, that determined a decline in the growth. But this notwithstanding, the overall growth has been rather similar to what we had in 16, so approximately the same that what we had in 16. And in fact, on the contrary, the motorways were also affected by the bad weather, obviously. But since the very beginning of the year, we saw a much lower trend. Which are the reasons of that trend compared to the rest? In general, the channel is less dynamic than airports in any part of the world. And it has not been different. By the way, it's even more evident in Europe when we had a very strong growth in airports this year in 2017 and a positive environment in motorways, but very distant in terms of growth compared to the airport. So in general, I think that in the U.S. also we have seen in the second part of the year also some increase in the cost of the oil that also contributed to some weakness in the traffic. And then in general, the problem that you have in order to generate sales in the motorway is that the capture rate is intrinsically lower. So all this is contributing to a channel that is probably intrinsically growing less than airports. Having said that, I think that the good fact is that although this part of the business in North America is growing less than the airport, profitability is comparable. So if it is not, it might be slightly dilutive in our growth rate on the top line, but it's not dilutive on in terms of the margins. As far as the what we expect for 2018, I think that in general what we expect is that next year, and this is by the way in part a first answer to the third question, that is the reason of the high capex expenditure that we had in 2017. In terms of the top line for 2018, we expect a rather comparable like-for-like growth compared, that is not very similar to what we had in 2017. So something above 3% as the underlying like-for-like growth of the revenue. But this year, in 2018, we expect a positive balance in between openings and closing, while in 2017 it was slightly negative. And one of the reasons of this additional contribution of sales generated by new openings is, in fact, the investment we have done in 2017. So part of the additional expenditure that we had in 2017 was driven by the wins that we had in 2016 and in the first part of 2017 that generated capex that now are allowing us to have more point of sales operated, and therefore we expect that the openings will be a boost in the top line growth for the year. So the operational leverage of incremental sales will drive an increase in EBITDA and EBIT, and then also, we will continue to work hardly on efficiency across the board. I think that in all the group, not only in Europe, even though definitely Europe will be the area where we'll make most of the action in order to improve the margins of the region. And finally, with respect to the growth of the net income, that is of the EPS, an important contribution will be given by the impact, the full impact for the year of the U.S. tax reform that in 2017 contributed because of two one-off effect, that is the fact that we have to recalculate the deferred tax liability generated by the decrease in the tax rate, and the taxation, the one-off taxation on the profit generated from subsidiaries not in U.S. But on the other hand, starting from 2018, we will see the decline of the tax rate that is going down for a 35%, theoretical 35% to a 21%, that will lead to a significant improvement both in terms of P&L and especially even more in terms of the cash flow statement.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful.
Welcome.
The next question is from Marco Baccaglio of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. First question is if you give us an idea about 2018 capital expenditure. The second question is regarding your 52 cents guidance of EPS for 2019. I was wondering if this is a number which is a reported number or as you have started from this reporting to show an underlying figure which, for example, exclude the stock option plan. And the third question is about your international activity unit, where I see that there is a sort of continuous decline in profitability. I was looking at my numbers in 2014, it was 12.6%, and now you are at 11.3%. I understand there are a lot of startup costs of new units, but where would you put the target profitability of this unit? Because it seemed one or 2 years ago that it should have been even more profitable than the American market, while now it is not the case anymore.
So I will start from the last one and then I go backward to the previous two. With respect to international, I think that there are, yes, some startup, because when you grow by the range of percent every year, obviously there is an important contribution of the new openings, that which means that at the very beginning there are not many locations that are already at the maximum efficiency, so you have to start and then to you will improve the profitability with the time. So I would also on the subject to add that the openings are an important contributor to that, but we want also to underline that the international has been particularly strong this year, also in terms of like-for-like, in that in general it's a very nice growth that we are experiencing there. One of the reasons of the decline of the margins that continue to be strong, by the way, so we don't have to forget that we are still speaking about a double-digit a margin in an industry that where in many cases you have a high single digit, so still particularly high. It is also because of the fact that while in the beginning international was only concentrated in airports, today in certain areas and especially in the Netherlands, we are also expanding the business in railway stations and in shopping malls where you see margins that are a bit lower. And for that reason, it is also in terms of mix of the growth that you see some decline. Where we can go, but I say that I think that in general there is no reason why this business that in terms of proportion in airport and non-airport is dissimilar with North America is going to have a much different profitability than the North American one. So I think that we should see them in the time relatively aligned in terms of profitability. So in terms of the EPS guidance, obviously we are talking about the 52 cents are the expected at the end of the period, and I think that in that case it is basically we shouldn't see a big difference in between underlying and reported at the end of the period. I think that one of the reasons why we wanted to show the impact of the stock option plan this year in 17 was also because of the fact that the strong increase in the stock price has generated for us the need of reevaluating the stock of the provision that we made in 16. And for that reason, we had on 17 a particularly significant impact. That's why we wanted to represent it separately. But in principle, the stock option is a part of the cost of labor. So obviously, it is included in the 52 cent guidance.
And if I may, these stock option costs, which were around 16 million, if I remember correctly. Do you have an estimate for 2018? Obviously, it will depend on where the stock price is, but assuming there is no change in the stock price, what kind of cost would be charged?
I will tell you indirectly. I think that the adjustment that we had to make on the evaluation of the plan in 16 was around 5 million. So it means that without that adjustment, the cost for the year would have been in the range of 10 million. So the last question was related to the 2018 capital expenditure. I think that in 18 and in the next probably 2 years, we will have to complete the most investment we planned for this important renewal on the New Jersey Turnpike. So that is probably the portion that will be the most relevant. For the rest, I think that I don't perceive any special spike that we can expect compared to the historical trend and incidence of revenues. For the plan, it is a large program of investment that might be an addition. For the rest, I don't see other main.
Thank you.
Next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. You have some questions. The first one is about North America margins. So you delivered good margins in 2017, basically were flattish year on year despite adverse weather conditions. Do you expect to confirm these margins in 2018? And just if you could elaborate a little bit more on raw material, labor costs, just to understand the drivers of margins in North America. This is my first question. The second one is about net working capital, that basically you did not generate cash in 2017 despite some positive growth. I would like to better understand this starting point and then to understand if an acceleration of top line growth over the coming 2 years could provide some cash from this item. And then if you could probably, if you want, elaborate a little bit more the impact that you expect in 2018 from net openings on the top line level with the current portfolio. Many thanks.
Questions. Let's start with North American margins. Yeah, I think that as you properly said, it has been a very good achievement to maintain the margins, notwithstanding the situation that has been generated in because of the hurricanes, especially because those hurricanes happen in a period of the year where normally we make a significant portion of our profit, that is August and September. And so I think that obviously this year we will continue to go for obviously both the growth and the profit. In North America, as we always said, what we want is really also to expand sales. So we are not, what we would like is to increase the EBITDA in absolute terms, more than being maniac on increasing the percentage, because we do think that there is an opportunity for us to expand the top line. I think that this is an important addition of the value. But in principle, we want to continue to have strong margins as we have, and we'll continue to maintain a lot of focus in expanding sales as much as we can. In terms of the working capital, in general, our industry, working capital is when you expand the business, is positive, but not that big, no? Because the vast majority of our purchases are fresh food, and it means that it is true that we cash from customers immediately, but it's also true that we pay also our suppliers quite quickly. So in principle, that is not an area where you can see massive generation of free cash flow or absorption of free cash flow. So in principle, there is always the room for improving, but don't expect to see enormous variation on that in our numbers. In terms of the openings, as I said before, we do last year we had a negative of around 25 million in terms of more closings than openings. This year we expect to have a positive number, with a total change that is substantial, probably say more in the range in terms of the difference compared to this year, more in the range of 100 million.
Okay, 100 million plus. Okay, in terms of sales. Just to follow up a little bit on the capex side. If I understood correctly, for 2018, do you expect to increase the capex for the U.S. motorways, but at the same time, probably the big jump that you had in 2017 to decrease? Probably be, just to understand in absolute terms at current Forex, you see a balanced level, a similar level of capex respect 2017. It's correct, my elaboration on this? Thank you.
Yeah, we are not prepared to give you a precise number, also because it is one of the most difficult number to predict, because it's really determined by the moment when we execute we start doing the capex, and you know that our capex are concentrated either in the very first part of the year, that means we finish to invest the beginning of the year in general by March, and the rest is generated starting from the end of September to the end of the year, and this is the period when we make the investment, and sometimes it's very difficult in October to exactly have a precise prediction of how money we actually spend in the many projects we have ongoing. So sometimes that is not that level is not exactly in our hands, because very frequently we can start the capex when the lender is giving us the infrastructure or the permission to start the works. So that's why sometimes it's difficult to give you a precise indication, because it really depends on from which moment in the year we really start the investment. That obviously may drive some impact also on the top line, because normally when you make the capex, you have also the boost on the sales. So in principle, I confirm what I said, that is, I don't see, apart from the opening of the works on the New Jersey Turnpike, any particularly large program of investment that may be a significant addition. And this is what we can tell you now. Also on the New Jersey Turnpike, I consider that is a large investment that we will complete in several years. So even for the New Jersey, it's very difficult today to say amount for 2018.
Okay. Many thanks.
The next question is from Ali Naqvi of HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, I've got three questions, please. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit more color on current trading, particularly around the US domestic travel trends, and also how is your convenience retail business developing? Could you also give us a little bit more clarity on the cost base, as my second question? You know, you had quite a good improvement in food prices this year. How do you expect that to trend next year, and as well as personnel? And finally, you know, you talk about operational efficiencies for next year as that being the main focus. What sort of things are you doing differently to drive that? Thank you.
Thank you, Ali. Did I understand properly that you want to have more details on the current trading in the U.S., more details on the cost base, if I understood well, across the board, and on the operational efficiencies in 2018?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. I will now hand over to Mr. De Vecchi.
As far as the current trading, I think that the year has started well with good performance, I would say, across all the channels and all the geographies. So to expand a bit your question, and not looking only to U.S., but you looking to the world, the opening of the year has been rather positive. And at the moment, the current conditions are supportive to our 3 years guidance. Obviously, it is only the beginning of March, so it's a bit too early to say that this is a final indication about the trend of the year, but the open on the year has been positive, also in Europe. With respect to the cost base, let's say that let's start from 2017 in order to understand the drivers that may impact the 18. In 17, what we have seen is obviously there is still an inflationary environment in U.S. On labor, because there is almost full employment. So the pressure on cost of labor is still there. If we can make a comparison between the situation of 15 and 16 and the one that was prevailing in 17, there is a bit less pressure, even though there is still, it's still difficult to find people. That means that you have to pay people in order to hire them. But there is a bit less pressure than what we have seen in 16. On the other hand, on the cost of goods sold, while in 16 we were seeing a deflationary environment that was helping us to sustain the pressure on labor, that contribution, let's say, that almost disappeared in 17. So even though still in 17 we have seen a positive evolution of both cost of goods sold and labor, in fact, on sales. So we have seen a positive impact on both in 17. What may happen in 18? I think that on cost of goods sold, it is very important to understand the evolution also of the weather conditions in winter, because in order to understand if there will be some issues on the supply in spring. At the moment, we don't see it, but that is always an issue, a question mark. On labor, what we may expect is that the environment will be similar to what we have seen in 17. So still an environment of full employment, but a bit less pressure on the cost side. Finally, with respect to efficiencies on the way we manage operations, we have done a lot of work in 17 in trying to be more effective in managing hours, because cost of labor is the first cost element in our P&L structure, and we have to be always more and more efficient in managing them. We have introduced certain software in order to allow the store managers to manage the hours effectively, especially because hours are expensive today in US. We will continue on that track. And the rest is there are technology may also help us with respect to what we propose to the customers. And in fact, we are investing, part of the investing we have been doing and we will continue to do in 18 and the following years is to introduce kiosks in our locations in order to try also to capture the traffic better and to increase the average order. That is an area where we can expect to have some efficiency and some improvement also in the margins.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Caini of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. A few questions from my side, most of them on the Italian motorways channel. So the first one is if you can give us a sort of indication of the like-for-like in 2017 only for this channel. You mentioned that the overall Italian business like-for-like was up 1.1%, so I was wondering if also the Italian motorways was contributing positively to that performance. The second one, again, on Italian motorways is on the expectation for this year, because there were several refurbishment projects that you conclude last year, and these together with the strong start to the year of the traffic maybe should support an acceleration on the top line in 2018. So I was wondering if this could be a reasonable assumption. And finally, again in Italy, but let's say a broader question is on the corporate reorganization that you concluded last year. I was wondering if we can expect some savings from the linear structure that you have in place since the beginning of this year. And finally, a follow-up question on the North America business. You mentioned a material headwinds and impact from the hurricanes in the last part of 2017. So if you can share with us any estimates that you can have on the top line and maybe even EBITDA level impact from the really adverse weather condition in that geography. Thank you.
Thank you, Luca. So just to summarize, as far as the Italian motorways are concerned, you would like to have more details on the like-for-like revenue growth for 2017.
Right.
And about our expectations after the refurbishment works on the Italian motorways in terms of revenue growth in 2018.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. As far as the corporate reorganization is concerned, you would like to know if going forward we would expect some savings on the cost base.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And on North America, you would like to have some details of the impacts related to the hurricanes that affected the region in the second half of the year.
Exactly. Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So let's start with the like-for-like in the Italian motorways. On Italian motorways, the main sales, that is food and beverage and retail sales, have grown like-for-like 1.5%, so a bit more than the country. In terms of our expectation on 2018, as I said to a previous question, the year has started well. Honestly, we think that the start of the year has been more determined by good traffic and our capture on the traffic more than the refurbishment. But it is true that now that we have renewed this important part of the network for a significant number of years, we can make some programs because we have visibility on the future. So we will work, we will continue to work. The opening of the year has been positive. Let's see what is going to happen in the next part of the year. In terms of corporate reorganization, the corporate reorganization has been completed. And we have created the relevant legal structure for each region. Now what we can say is that we have more accountable regions. I cannot say that this is immediately driving efficiency in terms of savings, but definitely we have created more accountable regions and even, I think, more importantly, a more flexible corporate structure. And now it is to us and to the management to execute on our program and to deliver both efficiency and hopefully growth. And finally, the calculation, the impact on North America about the hurricanes. There is not it is not possible to quantify what has been the impact. What we can say is that in the month of the hurricane, the overall traffic has gone down by 1.6% on the whole region, not only on the few airports that has been closed for the hurricanes. We have seen this temporary slowdown across the system that had the duration of about 2 months. And after what we have seen straight back on track and performing almost as usual. The good fact is that we reacted very quickly, and therefore our margins were not materially affected by the slowdown. That means that today in 2018, that is not a reason to expect that our margin can jump, because we've been good in 2017. And so there is not any inefficiency, any important inefficiency to recover in 2018.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is a feedback from Marco Baccaglio of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to come back on capital expenditure. I understand you don't want to share a number with us because timing could affect this capital expenditure, but the business structurally had about 5% capex to sales. You did 6% in 2017. So given your comment and these turnpike investments, which will be probably higher in the short term, is it possible to assume that you might have a couple of years where capex to sales could be in excess of 6% on average?
I think that it is possible that it is in excess of 5%. I doubt that it's going to be much higher than 6%.
Okay.
The next question is a feedback from Ali Naqvi of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to ask if you've thought about the EPS guidance beyond 2019 or how the board is thinking about that. Thank you.
Sorry, Ali, we didn't get your question. Could you please repeat it?
Has the board thought about giving any further EPS guidance beyond 2019, beyond the 20% that you came out with this morning?
Okay, so if we provide for a guidance beyond 2019,
No, I think that at the moment we want to stick to the guidance we gave to the market, that is a 3-year guidance. So,
thanks.
Thank you.
There is no question booked at the moment. This concludes our question and answer session. The conference call has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.
Thank you.